BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. And friends, according to tradition, June 29th marks the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul. His last letter as inspired scripture was a book of 2 Timothy. Paul knew the time was drawing near that his life was going to be surrendered on account of the gospel. He knew his life was going to be poured out as a drink offering that he refers to, but as he reviewed his life, as recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Just as the Apostle Paul had suffered persecution on account of the gospel, today, ladies and gentlemen, there are many who are being persecuted on account of their faith. We're here to discuss the matter of the Day of the Christian Martyr. We welcome Todd Nettleton. Todd is the Chief of Media Relations with Voice of the Martyrs. He's the host of Voice of the Martyrs broadcast, the radio broadcast. He has served some 20 years with Voice of the Martyrs. He has traveled to numerous nations to interview hundreds of Christians who have endured persecution. Also part of the writing team for the Voice of the Martyrs and four different books that have come out. Todd, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you. It's great to be with you again.
We may not know with absolute 100% certainty of the day of the Apostle Paul's execution. It's remembered June 29th. But first of all, briefly describe who the Apostle Paul was. What did he go through on account of his faith in Christ?
Well, you know, we think of the Apostle Paul, and we love that part of the story. But the story starts with him as Saul, the persecutor. Saul, on his way to Damascus, to find the Christians, track them down, and bring them to what he would have called justice. We're going to straighten out those confused people who are following this guy, Jesus Christ. And he runs into Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. So that's the start of the story. And amazingly, we see that story repeated again and again, even today. People who were Saul's months or years ago are now following the very one they persecuted, his followers. But as, you know, Saul became Paul, and then he traveled the known world sharing the gospel, debating the merits of the gospel, debating the veracity of Scripture, and did the Old Testament really point to Jesus, this man who had lived and died, and making disciples, making converts, building churches, eventually was arrested, appealed to Caesar, sent to Rome, and later beheaded, apparently just outside the city gates of Rome. And as you say, we don't know for sure June 29th, but June 29th is the date that church history has sort of assigned to his execution. And it's a day we want to capitalize on for the American church to be inspired by the example of the people like Paul, who have laid down their life in service to the gospel, in service to Christ, and hopefully each of us, as we think about their lives, we ask the question, okay, what would I be willing to give up to serve Christ? What would I be willing to sacrifice?
And even in 2 Corinthians, it accounts, Todd, what Paul went through. He talked about the five times receiving 40 stripes. He said, thrice was I beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked three times, a night and a day in the deep, had perils in waters, perils of robbers, perils among his countrymen, perils among the heathen. Much that he went through, talking about the weariness and painfulness that he went through, but he endured that because of the cause of Christ. And as you mentioned, there are so many today who are suffering on account of their faith. There are many who have died on account of the gospel, and many who are suffering today. If you were to take just a broad brush and describe the state of persecution in the world today, how would you describe it?
You know, it would have to be a broad brush. The Voice of the Martyrs is working in more than 70 countries where Christians face some kind of persecution. And that goes from what we might call discrimination. Hey, You can't have a job. Your kids can't go to the public school. You can't access the public water supply, all the way up to people literally laying down their lives, laying down their freedom on behalf of the gospel. One country that immediately comes to my mind is China, just because in the last 2 years, we have seen a dramatic increase of persecution in China. More pastors put in jail, more churches closed down, as the Communist Party tries to reassert control that, hey, it's fine for you to be a Christian as long as you're a communist first, as long as you honor the party above the scripture or above Jesus, then we're okay with that. But if you don't do that, we want to bring you under control. I also think of North Korea, probably the most closed country on earth as far as the gospel, and a place where the regime has built a false religion called Juche that is really an imitation Christianity. They have their own God. They have even their own Holy Spirit, the spirit of the Korean people that guides them. And so it's a counterfeit Christianity that they have built their regime on. And for anyone to come in from outside and say, wait a minute, Jesus is God, it's not just a matter of, hey, we don't talk about that here, we don't believe that here, or that's a foreign religion. It's treason. It undercuts the veracity of the regime. It undercuts the veracity of the North Korean government. So they are more fearful of the gospel than they are of guns and bombs and missiles, because they understand how much of it cuts away the roots of their very government.
You mentioned China here first as to the dramatic increase that we're observing taking place there. How would you describe the state of the church, those who are being persecuted? Is it in decline? Is it growing? What is the state of the church at present?
Well, the church continues to grow. And one of the interesting things, and I had an interview on our podcast last year with some of our workers working in China, and one of their prayer requests, and I thought this was really powerful reminder, they said, pray for the young people in the church, because this is the first time they're going through this kind of persecution. Mm. They said their fathers and their grandfathers, they've been through it, they've been sent to prison, they've seen how God sustains the church in the midst of intense persecution. But for these young people, for whom this is the first time, pray for them, because they're scared. They're intimidated by the increasing persecution. And I think that's a great prayer request, but it's also a reminder that one of the things that Satan uses against the church is that fear. And these governments that are persecuting Christians, they absolutely want to instill fear in the believers, in the church. And once you go through that persecution and you see, wait a minute, God was faithful to me while I was in prison. God protected me when I got taken to the police station. God even gave me the words to say, just like the book of Acts promises. And so after that, you find that Christians are much less fearful. They're much harder to intimidate. And so that was his prayer request. But the church continues to grow. And one of the things, I think the persecution that we see is a direct response to that. The church is growing. I've heard, you know, pretty conclusively that there are more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party. So if your power base is built around the Communist Party and you just look at those numbers, you think, wow, we got to do something about this. The church is bigger than the party. How are we going to change that? That's where some of this persecution is motivated from. That's where it's coming from. But the good side of that is, yes, the church has grown. The church is still very large and very strong in China.
I find it interesting, Todd, you were talking about fear, and my mind went right away back to 2 Timothy, where Paul's last book, as he's writing, he's expecting his execution coming at any time, but in that book he said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind."
That is such a great verse, and it's a great prayer for us to pray as we pray for persecuted Christians. Lord, help them not to be fearful. Mm-hmm. Help them not to have a spirit of fear, because as we're not afraid, and there are so many stories that I've heard over my years here at Voice of the Martyrs of amazing the way that God sustains, and I've literally had multiple people tell me, I miss being in prison, because God was so close to me while I was in prison. God did such amazing things, and I got to see, you know, with my own eyes, a front row seat to how God was doing these amazing things. So I kind of miss sometimes being in prison. And, you know, as a very comfortable American Christian, I hear that and I'm just like, wow, I can't even imagine myself saying those words, and yet I've heard it from multiple people imprisoned in multiple countries, that God is so faithful that they literally look back fondly on the time they spent with him in prison.
Todd Nettleton is with us today from Voice of the Martyrs. We're talking about the Day of the Christian Martyr. You were describing here in brief, as we kind of look at our modern society today around the world in modern times, China with this dramatic increase, North Korea, the intense persecution going on there. I know you could go nation after nation, Somalia and Afghanistan, so many more as to things that are going on. But Todd, do you believe that believers here in the West are we collectively as a church, are we aware of the extent of persecution taking place as a whole, or are we kind of asleep on this matter?
You know, I think we're not as aware as we should be. Now, the good side is we're more aware, I think, than we were 15 years ago. And some of that, you know, it affects the world condition. Some of it is technology, the fact that we can now post on our Facebook page, hey, somebody just got arrested. They're at the police station right now. Pray for them. That gives it more immediacy and more understanding, I think. But there's certainly a need for us to enter into what Paul writes about, the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Mm-hmm. And the idea, and the scripture makes this very clear, we're part of one body, and part of our body is suffering. If the rest of us are so disconnected that we can't even feel the pain that other parts of the body are inflicting, there's something wrong with that body. You know, if somebody stubs their toe but they can't actually feel it, that's a sign that there's some pretty serious medical issues going on. So we need, as the body of Christ, we need to have that connection, and that's part of what Voice of the Martyrs ministry is. Mm-hmm. Is building those connections, helping the church in the free world stay connected and understand and support the parts of the body who are enduring persecution.
So what do you think is distracting the church from that today, Todd?
you're gonna get me on my soapbox now. There's a lot of things. Frankly, you know, in America, political power is distracting us. Our un-need for God. I talk about in some of our conferences, the persecuted believers live in daily reliance on God. Every day they wake up and say, God, you're going to have to help me get through today, or else bad things are going to happen. We tend to live in biweekly reliance on our paychecks. And, you know, that's how God is providing for me, so I'm going to get paid and everything's going to be great, and that's how I'm going to meet my needs. I think we could learn a little bit from our brothers and sisters who wake up every morning and say, Lord, unless you step in today, things are going to go really poorly, and have that sense of daily relying on the Lord and daily drawing on his strength and his power to get us through the day.
Folks, we're going to take a break. Todd Nettleton is our guest here today on Crosstalk from Voice of the Martyrs, and we're going to come back and talk specifically about the Day of the Christian Martyr and, matter of fact, a special remembrance of a family that moved to Afghanistan in 2003. Todd will tell us the story here after the break. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Todd Nettleton is our guest here today. He's Chief of Media Relations and host of Voice of the Martyrs radio broadcast. And Todd is here today to speak about the Day of the Christian Martyr, June 29th, marking the martyrdom of the Apostle Paul, according to tradition. And so the emphasis is there on the Day of the Christian Martyr. Matter of fact, at Voice of the Martyrs, Todd, you are giving just a special remembrance of a family who moved to Afghanistan in 2003. And I'd like you to share their story with us here, if you could.
Well, I would love to. The family was from South Africa. The dad's name was Werner Groenwald. His wife's name was Hannah Lee. And at that time, they had two fairly young children, a boy and a girl. And it was after 9/11. We most of us remember where we were on 9/11. Mm-hmm. We remember what happened afterwards. U.S. troops go into Afghanistan. It was after 9/11 that God called their family to go to Afghanistan. And Hannah Lee was an emergency room doctor in South Africa. Werner was on staff at a church. They had a very nice, comfortable life. They were involved in ministry. They were doing God's work. And God called them to Afghanistan. And I actually had the chance to interview Hannah Lee, and I said, you know, how did your family respond to that? And she said there were people in their family who said, that could not be the voice of God. You are mishearing, you're misunderstanding. There is no chance that God would call you to move to Afghanistan. And yet they continue to feel this is from the Lord. And so they packed up their family, left South Africa, and moved to Afghanistan, launched into ministry there. As you know, Afghanistan's not a place where you can go as a open missionary, and so they got involved in leadership development. And Hannah Lee was providing medical care, especially to Afghan women. Having a woman doctor is such an amazing blessing there. And so, you know, they were serving the people of Afghanistan and quietly being a gospel lighthouse in that country. They served for more than 10 years there. In 2014, there was an attack in Kabul. It was interesting. There was a meeting of the UN that day in Kabul, and they had heard sort of the scuttlebutt on the different intelligence services. There's going to be an attack. There's going to be an attack. And so Hannah Lee, as a doctor, was invited to attend this UN meeting because they thought that's where the attack will be, and it would be great to have a doctor on site ready to treat the wounded. Well, there was an attack, but it was actually on their home, which also served as the place they provided training. Werner and the two children were killed. Hannah Lee survived, and she actually, as I talked to her, she said, you know, at first I wished I had been home so that I could have been killed too. How was I going to go on without my husband, without my children? And amazing story of how God worked in her heart and sustained her in those days.
Describe that attack for us, Todd, if you would. What happened?
Multiple Taliban people came over the wall into their compound. They shot Werner and Rhodey and Jean-Pierre, the two children. There were several Afghans there also who were shot in that attack. And then the house was burned. And partly it was burned by the attackers, partly it was burned because the military came and tried to counterattack, and that ended up causing fire. And it's interesting, as Hannah Lee shared the story, she said the fire, the children's bodies were both found in one of their bedrooms, and the fire came right up to the door, but it did not burn the bodies. And she said it was so important to her to be able to bury her children. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, she looked at the line where the fire came up to, she just felt like God had put his hand there and said, nope, no further. I'm going to protect these bodies. I'm going to protect Hannah Lee's ability to bury her children and to mourn them and grieve for them. And so even in the midst of that attack, God was sustaining her and giving her support and power, and people spoke life and encouragement into her. And one of the things that Hannah Lee shared, and I think this is an amazing analogy and really an amazing promise for us as unpersecuted American Christians, she talked about the grace of God to go through that experience as a boarding pass that you get on an airplane. And she said, you know, you don't get your boarding pass a month before your flight or a year before your flight. You get it right before you get on the plane. And she said, if you had asked me a month before this attack, would I have the grace to go through this? Would my faith survive something like this? I would have said, no way. I don't have, nope, that could not happen. I'm not strong enough. I couldn't do that. But she said, even in the days and hours right before the attack, God was building her up. God was preparing her, and God sustained her through this. And she said, it's like a boarding pass. I got that grace right before this attack, right before I was going to get on this plane. I didn't have it a month before. I didn't have it a year before. And I think, what a great promise to us who have not gone through persecution, that if that day comes, God will give us the grace to go through it, just as we would need a boarding pass to get on a plane.
Todd, I'd like you just to review an aspect, and that is there were those who felt they were very foolish going there to Afghanistan. They knew the dangers that would that were upon them. Why would they cast those dangers aside? Why would they move there with their young children?
You know, I think the answer to that is because God called them there, and they felt very clearly that He was calling them. And yes, they knew it was dangerous, but there are people in Afghanistan who've never heard the gospel, and they were more concerned with those people who had never heard the gospel than they were concerned about their own safety. And like I say, there were people in their own family who said, how can you take your children and move to Afghanistan? Particularly Rhodey, their daughter, as I talked with Hannah Lee, she talked about how hard it was to be a girl in that culture where girls are looked down upon and treated poorly. And yet they were raising their daughter in the midst of this. And she talked about the challenges of that. But at the end of the day, God had called them there. There were people dying without hearing the love of Jesus Christ, and that inflamed their hearts to answer that call of God in spite of the risk. And God allowed them to serve for more than 10 years. They were very careful. They did have security protocols. They did, try to keep their profile low, try to keep out of sight sometimes, not be very public with what they were doing. But they knew there were risks, and yet the call of God was more powerful on their hearts than the fear of those risks.
I find it also interesting that just a month before this took place, it was October, that Werner had spoke at a conference on the subject of counting the cost for Christ and ended it by saying, we die only once, it might as well be for Christ.
It's an amazing part of his legacy, and I wonder if we could talk to him, if God was also preparing his heart for this ultimate sacrifice, because obviously he was thinking about that. He was thinking about loss and death and sacrifice to make that statement at the end of a sermon. And, in eternity, perhaps we'll get to ask that question. But I kind of feel like God was preparing him just as he was preparing Hannah Lee to go through the part of this ordeal and saga that she would go through as well.
The day of their martyrdom was just less than 5 years ago. How is Hannah Lee doing today?
Hannah Lee has married a man in South Africa. They have a daughter. He had a daughter. And so she is kind of rebuilding her life, I guess you would say. But one of the things that hasn't changed is she has still today a great love for the Afghan people, a great heart for that country and for the people there. And even, in the days after her family was killed, she said publicly, I forgive. She did not have animosity. She didn't have anger. And in that Islamic culture, that is really a mind-blowing thing, because so much of Islamic culture is revenge and vengeance. And if you hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. And if you kill one of my family members, then I'm going to kill two of your family members. And her being able to stand up and say, I love the Afghan people and I forgive the people who did this, an amazing testimony. And really, like I say, in that culture, just absolutely mind-blowing that people look at that and say, wow, how can you do that? Which obviously makes a great entry point to talk about the love of Christ and the fact that He's forgiven us.
So what is Voice of the Martyrs doing to mark this day of the Christian martyr?
Well, on the day, we are actually inducting. We have at our headquarters in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, something called the Martyrs Monument, and we're going to add the names of Werner Rhodey and Jean-Pierre Groenewald. We will have a kind of a service, a memorial service for them, honoring their memory As we do that, that will be available for a live stream on that Saturday in several different channels, so you can watch that online. The other thing we're doing, though, is making that available for download. And what we hope people will do it, Sunday school class teachers, pastors, others will download that video and take it to your service on Sunday and just share it and talk about it. We're providing some resources to help you kind of talk about it. And again, we honor the sacrifice of the Groenewald family, but we want it to be a time of personal reflection and thinking about, okay, what am I willing to sacrifice? What does it mean to lay down everything for Christ? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow him? So we hope, obviously, to honor their memory and honor those around the world who are sacrificing for Christ, but also to have some kind of take-home for American Christians to say, okay, what does this mean for me? How do I wrestle through with this? Because obviously, before they went to Afghanistan, they had wrestled through the idea that we may not survive this. There is danger there, but Jesus is worth it. We want to help American Christians kind of wrestle with that too, and hopefully come to the same conclusion. Whatever Jesus is asking me to sacrifice, Jesus is worth it.
So the Day of the Christian Martyr coming up June 29th, we're a couple weeks out, and you actually have resources that people can download off your site, bulletin inserts and other materials pertaining to this. How can our listeners get those?
Persecution.com is the main VOM website, persecution.com, and then just do /martyr, persecution.com/martyr. You can register there, download those free digital resources, as you mentioned, things to help you take it to a Sunday school class or share it with the youth at your church, things to be inspired by the stories of other martyrs who have given their lives for Christ, as well as the Groenewalds themselves. So great resources, persecution.com/martyr.
And they can also read the Groenewald story there as well.
Yes, you can read it, and we also have a short video that Tana Lee shares the story, and we've kind of reenacted some of it to help people understand what their family did and what they went through.
And that's all available at persecution.com/martyr. And those resources are there, the bulletin inserts, the brief information, a short video. And folks, even watching that video, you'll see some of the actual aftermath of the footage of the burned-out facility. But you'll see Hana Lee just share testimony as to what transpired that day. It's really a very moving piece, Todd.
Well, thank you. It's a great reminder of their sacrifice. And like I say, this one of the things we want to do with this day is really honor their example. And one of the things our CEO has talked about is the way they train Treasury officers to spot counterfeit bills is not by showing them counterfeit bills, but by showing them real ones so that when the fake ones come along, they can identify them. We're trying to hold up real Christians, real followers of Christ, so that none of us will be confused when we see counterfeits in our culture and around us.
Todd Nettleton, our guest, and folks, we're opening our phone lines today as we're talking about Christian persecution today, specifically the Day of the Christian Martyr. Our phone number, 800-733-9829. Perhaps you have a question on this topic, a comment you'd like to make. Are we counting the cost? Do we understand what believers in Christ are going through on account of their faith? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking of the Day of the Christian Martyr and the broader topic of Christian persecution. It is very much active in so many countries around the world right now. And the Day of the Christian Martyr coming up on June 29th, Voice of the Martyrs, providing resources for individuals, Bible study groups, churches, to bring this issue to the attention of many. And the website, again, is persecution.com/martyr. That's persecution.com/martyr. And you can see some of the resources there. If you have a comment you'd like to make, or maybe you've got a question on this topic of persecution, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Perhaps this has been an eye-opener for you today as to what's taking place. And we have just skimmed the surface as it relates to this topic of Christian persecution. But, oh, how we hope that we are opening the eyes of many, certainly to be remembering and to be praying for the persecuted church. Let's go to Texas, and we have Toledo who's calling in. Hi, Toledo. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm Toledo. Thank you for the Voice of the Martyrs. I've had your magazine a lot, and I've just been reading it, and thank you for sharing it. I just wanted to say thank you for the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and that's why I put my comment was. I appreciate y'all. And
thank you. Thank you, Toledo. Todd, how is it that people can get your newsletter, your magazine, The Overcomer?
Well, persecution.com is our main website. We've talked about /martyr for the resources for the Day of the Christian Martyr, but if you just go to persecution.com, there's a button right at the top of the page that says free newsletter. Just click on that, give us your name and address. We want to equip American Christians to know these stories, know what's happening, and be able to pray effectively for our brothers and sisters around the world. So it's great to hear from a reader that's happening, that she is being informed and able to pray.
Again, our number, 800-733-9829. We're going to South Africa. We have Rion who is calling. Hi, Rion. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm driving from Texas up to North Dakota, and I've had the opportunity and the benefit in listening to your program. And I really appreciate your input and what you are doing. And the gentleman who's referring to Hanalei and her family, we know the story as a South African very good and very much. And from my side, I will thank you as Americans giving the acknowledgement to Hanalei and her family in America. And we as Africans, we will pray with you around for the people around the world who has been murdered and been sacrificed for the word and for Christianity.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I would ask, you referring to Afghanistan and referring to China in a previous program and so forth. I will ask, as an African and a South African, I'm actually being born and grown up in Namibia, please pray for the African and South African people as well. We are so much in need for the support and the prayers of our brothers and sisters across the world. And I really appreciate for the opportunity. May God bless you. May God bless America as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, Rion. We appreciate your phone call. And Todd, here's a guest or a caller phoning in who knows firsthand what's happening, not only with the Groenewald family, but also what persecution is like and the plight of believers in South Africa.
Yeah, and I would encourage Rion, we actually have a sister Voice of the Martyrs office based in South Africa. I hope he'll connect with them, and they do very similar to what we do here at Voice of the Martyrs USA, but specifically for Christians in South Africa. But yeah, I'm glad he mentioned the African continent too. I think of, you know, Nigeria is a place where we're seeing intense persecution. Just in the last month, we've seen 4 different attacks in the country of Burkina Faso, focusing on Christians, targeting Christians, and so there is certainly a great deal of persecution on the African continent.
That's our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. As we're talking about Christian persecution today, we're talking about the Day of the Christian Martyr, 1-800-733-9829. Let's go to additional caller from Texas, Lubbock, Texas, and Juanita, you're on the air.
I was just, you said that if you knew something about, you know, persecution, I understand exactly what people are going through in the martyrs, but mine was a different situation. It was here in a hospital, and I had Muslim doctors, and I was unconscious, and he heard me crying out to Jesus, and I had no idea anybody could hear me, but I heard Usama say one day they're in our hospitals, and I knew very well what he was talking about,
mm-hmm.
because they literally, I believe, tried to take my life.
Well, we're certainly sorry for that, Juanita, and though we don't have all the facts and details to go further into that at this time, Todd, as we take a look at, and thank you for your call, as we take a look here at the United States of America, we become very complacent. You used the term earlier that we have an un-need for God. We live for that paycheck. But when it comes to persecution, like what they're seeing in other nations, are we immune? Are we exempt from that because we are the United States of America?
You know, I wish that that was true, but I don't think it is. And as I think about my own children and eventually someday, hopefully, grandchildren and the country that they will grow up in, and we already see to a certain extent, if you speak out, we've seen it in our own country, if you speak out about the biblical understanding of human sexuality, the biblical understanding of marriage, there will be pushback against that. And mm-hmm. we have seen people who have lost their livelihood, lost their businesses because of that. And so, you know, I'm reminded of something Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will endure persecution. Mm-hmm. And we don't preach on that very often in our American churches, and we tend to think of that as somehow that he didn't really mean us. But if that day is coming for American Christians, our job is to be ready for that, and especially, I think, to have our children and our grandchildren ready for that. One of the ways we do that is by diving into the Scripture. The Bible talks a lot about persecution. Much of the New Testament was written to persecuted Christians, so there is lots in the Scripture. The other way I think that we prepare ourselves is by hearing the stories of those who have endured persecution and have seen God's faithfulness and have seen opportunities to witness in the midst of persecution. Those are the ways that I think we get ready. And like I say, I don't want to put a date on it. I don't want to say, you know, here's when pastors will start getting arrested or whatever. But if that day is coming, we need to be preparing ourselves and our children for it. So we need to be thinking about, okay, how do I get ready? And I think the Scripture and I think the stories of heroes of the faith, like the Groenewalds, are part of the way that we prepare ourselves in case that day does come to our house and to our country.
The website, persecution.com/martyr. persecution.com/martyr. Valerie is calling from Milwaukee. Valerie, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a comment about the persecution of the Christians. I was just going to say that I believe that since Christ was the ultimate, you know, sacrifice, you know, to show that, you know, that was the end of the, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I believe that the persecuted Christians in the past, like in the biblical era or whatever, you know, I believe that, you know, they were, grateful for Christ, you know, Christ's death, so they wanted to die for him, obviously. But I think that the persecution today, you know, that many Christians shouldn't be, like, afraid of it, you know, because of you know, the people that are just persecuting them are just, you know, looking back, you know.
Sure, I appreciate that. And Todd, I know one thing that that we've heard from the persecuted church in the past is that they're even praying that their captors or those who are committing the acts of persecution, that they themselves would come to know Christ.
It's an amazing thing, and actually, we see this in the life of our founder here at Voice of the Martyred, Pastor Richard Warmbrand. Himself persecuted, spent 14 years in prison. His wife Sabina spent 3 years in prison. And you know, when Jesus says, "Love your enemies," there must be a way to do that. I don't think Jesus would lay something out there that's just completely impossible for us to do. Pastor Warmbrand exemplified that, and as you say, we see that around the world. People who are being persecuted, and yet God supernaturally enables them to love and forgive and pray for the people who are persecuting them.
Yes.
Is just an amazing supernatural thing. It's also an amazing testimony to the unbeliever, because humanly speaking, there's no explanation for that. How can I be beating you and you turn around and look at me with love in your eyes? That
Amen.
Doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah.
The only explanation is Christ is real, he's alive, and he empowered you to do that.
Thanks, Valerie, for the call. We're going next to Chris. Chris, you're on the air.
Well, I have a question.
Hello, Chris.
People are persecuted when fundamentalists...
Chris, talk right... Chris, excuse me, Chris. Chris, talk right into the mouthpiece of your phone. You're very muffled.
Talking into the mouthpiece. Can you hear me now?
You're very muffled, Chris.
Well, okay, can you hear me now?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, when people are persecuted in Muslim countries, aren't the Muslims following a fundamentalist regimen from their text?
Yes, and we've done programs on Islam before in that regard. But these are not just Islamic nations that we're seeing persecution come from. As Todd was describing, even China, North Korea, these are not followers of Islam. That is another whole category. And Todd, indeed, you're seeing great persecution taking place in Islamic nations, are you not?
Absolutely. One of the ones that comes immediately to mind is Iran. And Iran is the Islamic Republic of Iran. The mullahs are actually running the country. And they consider for you to leave Islam and follow a different religion makes you an apostate, and their interpretation of the Quran is you should be killed if you do that. And so it definitely flows out of both their religious convictions. It also flows out of their political power base, because as people become Christians, they feel like that's undermining the government. They're worried about Western influence undermining the government. So it has both a religious and a political motivation. That's true in Iran, and it's actually true in quite a few Muslim countries.
We are up against a break. Thank you, Chris. And Todd Nettleton is our guest. We'll come back with more calls here after the break. This is Crosstalk here on VCY America. The website, persecution.com/martyr. And you can download materials and information pertaining to the Day of the Christian Martyr, as that day is coming up here on June the 29th. Resources for individuals and churches, families can download to talk about this collectively as a family as well. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Are we watching the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? I think we are in many ways. Revelation 17, 12 through 13 declares the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Well, pretty clear who that is, right? 10 kings, 10 leaders. I think they're going to be presidents of various unions. And it says that they will receive kingdoms and then they will give their power to the Antichrist, the beast. I believe what we're talking about here is the world divided into 10 regions. Now, I've been speaking and writing and talking about this for years, but folks, we're watching it come about fast. Did you know that many of the globalist and European organizations have already divided the world into 10 regions? The North American Union, Central America and Caribbean, South America, Western Europe, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, Mediterranean and Middle East, Africa, Northeast and South Africa, Southeast Asia, Australia and Pacific. 10 regions ready for 10 leaders to give their power to the beast.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. And again, the website, persecution.com/martyr. Todd, as we mentioned, we've really just scratched the surface on this topic, but we know that persecution is great. It's on the increase year after year, and we see even from another ministry, the World Watch List coming out, and your ministry has been so vocal in helping us to understand the plight of the persecuted church and praying for the church. Tell us what Voice of the Martyrs is doing. This persecution's on the increase. It's rising up all over this world. How are you addressing it, Voice of the Martyrs? How are you responding?
Well, I mentioned Voice of the Martyrs is active in more than 70 countries where Christians are persecuted, and that activity falls under three main categories. One is persecution response, basically helping respond to persecution instances, helping with medical care for those who have been wounded, helping with attorneys if their country allows that for those who have been accused, helping the children of prisoners be able to continue with their education, that kind of persecution response. The second area is Bibles. The first request of persecuted Christians is pray for us. The second request is send more Bibles. And so Bibles in every country where we work, that's printed Bibles, children's Bibles, audio Bibles. Some places it's digital Bibles that are easy to transfer and easy to hide. So persecution response and Bibles, and then the third area is what we call frontline workers. And basically it's equipping and encouraging evangelists and church planters and gospel workers to spread the gospel, even in spite of the opposition, in spite of the risk of persecution. And so those are the three ways that we're working in those 70-plus countries around the world.
So if our listeners want more info on that, they can go through your main gateway at persecution.com?
Persecution.com, exactly.
Is there a phone number as well for individuals?
There is. It is 1-800-747-0085. 1-800-747-0085.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got John calling from Ohio. John, you're on the air. Hello, John.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Okay,
let's go to Ken in Farmington, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. This is a wonderful ministry, both the radio and what the gentleman is talking about today. I've been a member of several churches over the last 40 years of my life, and they were all missionary-minded churches. And to see your friends go through suffering in other countries, it's a hard thing to deal with sometimes, but it does keep your heart softened toward the mission field, and by and large, I just wanted to say thank you so much for what you fellows are doing for supporting missionaries in countries like those in the Middle East where they certainly hate the gospel. And even in Jerusalem, from what I understand, some people were trying to witness on the streets out there, and that's taboo to them, even in Jerusalem. You'd think they would at least have a little bit more understanding about our view of the New Testament, but it's hard even there. Maybe you could comment a little bit about that. And I always love reading stories about Corrie ten Boom and places like in Germany and being in during the World War II persecution just of the Jews and also anybody that would name anything that has to do with God. Like you mentioned earlier about North Korea, where it's a total rebellion against their established thought of what their God is, a dictatorship. And we know one world government is
sure
coming.
Ken, let me have Todd respond because our time is going quickly. Todd, your response here to Ken.
Well, I would encourage you to pray for Israel and pray for the Christians there. We do see some persecution both from ultra-Orthodox groups. It is typically not from the Israeli government, but from ultra-Orthodox groups there. We also see persecution of Palestinian Christians and sometimes very intense persecution of Palestinian Christians. So certainly keep praying for the believers in Israel that God will continue to sustain them because they do face intense pressure and persecution.
Thank you for the call. We're going to squeeze one last caller in, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Thanks for the great program, Todd. I was influenced by Reverend Irvin, and I was in Israel the first time. Great book, Persecuted for Christ. And I'd like to just speak to the nation and to the pastors. It's time for America to wake up because persecution is coming and it is going to increase. And then secondly, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the preachers, like in Timothy, they need to preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your call here today as well. Todd, I'd like to cover one last aspect. We have just 2 minutes left in the broadcast, and it's the matter of prayer in praying for the persecuted church. I know at Voice of the Martyrs you have another website, icommittopray.com. Let's just unfold for us the importance of praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, I mentioned that is their number one request, is pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. And the challenging part of that to me is what they're not asking is pray that our persecution will stop. They're asking, pray that we'll be faithful to Christ in spite of the persecution. Pray that we'll keep serving, keep ministering, keep witnessing in spite of the risk. That's a really challenging request, but that is their first request. And you mentioned icommittopray.com. We also have an app for your smartphone called Pray Today that has a new prayer request every day to help people pray. We want to be a source of equipping American Christians to pray for the other members of the body of Christ around the world that are suffering for their faith, and that is a key part of what Voice of the Martyrs does here in the U.S.
Again, folks, the website, icommittopray.com, and you mentioned also the app, a downloadable app that's Pray Today?
Yep, Pray Today on both iTunes and Android.
Okay, and daily prayer request will come on praying for the persecuted church. We've got time to just squeeze in the resources, Todd, that you've got available for the Day of the Christian Martyr.
There are downloadable resources, including video resources, church bulletin inserts, things to share on social media, persecution.com/martyr. You can download all of that material.
Great. Well, Todd, we appreciate you, your ministry, and keeping the status of the persecuted church before our eyes so we can be effective prayer warriors and also get engaged in helping in areas that we can. Persecution.com, folks, is the gateway website. If you want the resources, persecution.com/martyr. Also, the icommittopray.com is another site. Or you may call them at 1-800-747-0085. Todd, thanks so much for joining us today.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
And folks, just remember, as the writer of Hebrews said, to remember those who are in bonds as being in bonds with them. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.